grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 306 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Episode 306, it just blows my mind how much time we have spent together. I did the calculation, of course, at 300, man, it's over, I want to say like 14 days or 21 days straight that you can listen to Dudes and Beer. It's an insane amount of content. So go out there, check it out, folks. Dudes and Beer is the website. Stop on by, check it out, support us. We have some support buttons there. Feel free to help us out if you're, if you believe in the cause, if you believe in what we're doing, bringing you unadulterated truths all the time, from whistleblowers to people like our guest this evening, Mark Kistler. Someone who is very near and dear to my heart and my life. I grew up watching PBS and grew up with a grandmother that watched children. So PBS was on like 24/7 at her house. And Mark Kistler was one of those people that had the amazing TV show Secret City, that some of you out there like me may be old enough to remember. Imagination Station was after that. And his lifelong passion is teaching art to people of all ages, but specifically children, and the importance of art in the life of children. And right now, in this day and age of COVID, the way that things are going on, the way that things are happening, I mean, even right now, my kid is developmentally behind by a half step just because of that socialization that he's missing, being with his peers every couple few days for daycare, that kind of stuff. And when you start talking about education, when you start talking about things that kids are missing, that instilled imagination that has to be harnessed and it has to be focused and has to be shown that it's okay to express this, when that starts going missing, what's going to happen? So those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. Mark's lifelong passion, teaching art, the amazing shows that he's been a part of, the amazing web feeds, like the one that he literally just got done with. Like, he got done with his web feed, hung up, we connected, now he's on my live web feed, literally pages away from each other on Facebook. So right after this message from our sponsor, Podcast Cadet, we will be talking to Mark Kistler, owner of markkistler.com and draw3d.com, talking about the importance of art in the life of children. Right after this. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code DUDES20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. That's right, folks. PodcastCadet.com. Stop on by today. Check it out. Full disclosure, I am one of the owners of PodcastCadet.com, and I actively started it because my years in broadcast, my years in production, things like that, I literally just met people that were in charge of branding for products and brands, that were in charge of, you know, social media promotion, things like that. So to be able to hook up people in the podcasting world with professionals in that world and help guide them where they need to go, instead of getting some of the really bad advice that can exist out there, that's what I'm all about. That's what PodcastCadet.com is all about. Our guest this evening, the amazing Mark Kissler, has been about teaching art to children his entire life. Here is that amazing intro from Secret City right now. This is one of those shows that I would run home from school to watch. Fortunately, I did not live far away from my school. There he is in his glory right there. And here he is now. Welcome to the show, Mark Kissler. How are you today, sir?
I was watching that, and look, was I ever that young? Goodness gracious. Look at that Tom Selleck mustache.
I know.
I was channeling Tom. That was 1984, 85. Wow. I was 19 years old when I did that show, and I'm 57 years old right now.
Wow.
And I had to do my own makeup. I'd never done makeup before in my life, but it was such a low-budget show. They had a makeup artist. They paid her one day for consulting for me and the robot Zebtron. And then we had 65 shows, so I was on my own for the other 64 shows. So you'll see in this one, I'm just so lame. I had no idea what in the world I was doing. So look at the makeup on the eyes.
That is some Will Ferrell status mascara there, buddy.
Then look at the, the cheek, and there was no mascara. That was my real eyebrow, but it was just it was makeup. I was like, what? Are you serious? I mean, I'm a water polo player and a skydiver, and what? Makeup, but you know, this was back in 1983, and I did a show without the makeup, and I looked like I was dead. So they insisted I put it on, and I got okay with it, but you can see I just caked it on, and then I got used to it after 2 months. I was like, oh, woke up all groggy. You know, I just get into the studio. Oh, it's all right. I'll do makeup. I'll get makeup and I'll look alive, you know, after a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was my one time in my life that I had to do my own makeup. That was pretty funny.
Well,
I've been doing it for over 40 years. And
wow.
I'm still in touch and very good friends with Joel Gorey. He's Zebtron of the Secret City. Now He played three characters. He played Cindy the Dragon, my favorite character. I just love Cindy the Dragon. And he played Metaman, the scientist. And
okay.
He played Zebtron, the most famous one was Zebtron, the pink striped robot.
Yeah.
And boy, we did 65 shows, and you can download episodes, two of them, the pilot and one episode. I wish there was more out there, but you can download those on the app, the PBS app, PBS.org app.
Oh, wow.
You can download it for free from your, on your smartphone. You watch a couple old episodes. Now, my other series that we did 10 years after that one, we did that in 1985. And then 1995, we started this series, Imagination Station, on public television around, and it was actually around the world. And we ended up doing, over the course of 11 years, that one, we did 65 episodes of Secret City, and then we did 190 episodes over the course of the 10 years at different studios. Those are my books. Thank you for having that. That's a nice little
Absolutely.
Shameless plug for my books. Thank you so much.
I am all about shameless self-promotion, Mark Kissler.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, The Imagination Station, that's a wonderful book, and we based the series on that book. We actually won the Emmy for the episodes of Imagination Station, and I never knew I would get so much mileage out of that. I mean, I still carry that around to Comic Cons after, you know, this is from 2009 is when we won the Emmy. And what is it, 2021? And I have the Emmy sitting right. I'm holding it. I can reach out and grab it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I put it, It's amazing how much mileage is silly, you know, but there's not very many people have it. And I tell the kids, it's like a cool bowling trophy for TV people, you know? it's a wonderful prop to have. And then with the Emmys, there's these rules. You're not supposed to take photos with it. After you have 1 year to take photos and let people, no one's supposed to be holding it, but you taking pictures. You know how many millions of kids, okay, at least thousands of kids have held the Emmy.
Wow.
And taken pictures with it. And I'm like, what are they going to have the Emmy please come and watch it? Probably somebody listening to the show is with the American television.
Yeah, I know, right?
Is, you know, coming. But so many kids have just got such a kick, and parents too.
Oh, I'll bet.
Comic Cons, they just love holding the Emmy and taking it. And now I'm always like, oh no, don't drop it, you know, because the kids get a little rowdy, especially the junior high kids.
Well, and so, you know what's interesting? Because we came across each other at a con that a friend of mine was holding, and that's how we kind of first became connected. Things like that.
What Comic Con was that?
That was actually the Scary Dad Con. It was like a little horror convention.
Oh, at the hotel. Love that one.
Yeah.
That was so much fun.
Oh, it was
fun.
Great. You and Mario were there. It was fantastic.
Little room. It was so fun.
Oh, and it's come so far.
You know, used to these big mega things, and it was so fun. A small little, just a conference room with maybe 60 artists in there, different authors.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was. I loved it, and I would love to go back. To tell your friend I want to come back.
Oh, absolutely, we'll make that happen,
COVID,
man.
After COVID, I've only had my first shot. I have another shot coming, and then I got to make sure my son is clear. And so we're looking at 2026.
Good.
Am I right?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
At the pace that things are going,
it seems like it. See, as a live event technician, it really, really seems that way.
Are you in group like number 7 for yours?
Something like that.
Shot?
Yeah.
Are you going to do it? Are you going to drink a beer and do your shot?
If that's what I've got to do.
You don't have to do it. It's your choice. But yeah, I hope you do.
But no. I mean, I've got a small child. I know my wife has made her appointment. All that kind of stuff. It's for me. It's really one of those, like, I work in the live events industry, you know, like the conventions that you're normally out signing things at. I'm one of the dudes setting up and running the tech, you know. So I'm putting microphones on people. I'm handling people's thumb drives.
Oh, you're right there. You're right in there. Are you still doing that now during COVID?
It's a lot of it has gone to the digital world now. There have been a lot of changes made. It's one of those, I'm pretty sure that we will be one of the industries that will require a vaccination card.
Right.
You know, like, well, it will be required, if you're going to be on an airplane, you'll probably have to show the fact that you've been vaccinated at some point.
And wear a mask still probably probably wearing masks for 10 years.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, it just changed our lives. But thank goodness I just discovered Zoom on March 13th when my son had to, I was using a different platform called Jigsaw. I've been teaching, you know, webcasting for 10 years, but it's been so clunky and so clumsy. Oh my goodness, Zoom made it so easy.
Yeah.
I wish I would have bought a bunch of shares of Zoom because I live on it all day long, all day long. I've got thousands of Zoom, students and schools around the world. It's just so easy, and it's so, you'll be so proud of me. You know what I started doing just four days ago? I started doing a multicasting through OBS to get this. You ready? I'm really lame, but thank you, Nate Johnson. I hope that he's listening. I told him about this. He's another podcaster, and he's just a fantastic. Well, did you know he was with us on that, last month on the conference call.
Uh-huh.
Do you know Nate Johnson? But he's in the comic book world.
I do not know him. Know him?
Oh, this is where you say. This is where you say. Oh yeah, Nate. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh.
Great. He's the Star Wars guy. Yeah,
tell us about Nate Johnson.
Yeah, tell us about Nate Johnson. Anyways, he's awesome. Awesome help. I wish I had all his stuff he does. He does a lot of stuff with the comic book world, but he has 5 hours he spent holding my hand.
Wow.
I put out a little note saying, help, I need some help with my Facebook tribe. or my YouTube tribe or my Instagram tribe. Can anybody help me figure out how to do this multicasting and how to, I need to redevelop my website. Well, I got six really great responses. I got, a couple hundred, but six that I think we were able to work together. And you were one of the responders, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Absolutely.
Thank you for helping with the Patreon. And then Nate really took off on helping with the multicasting. And so I figured it out with his help. I downloaded the OBS. I downloaded the caster. And I figured out how you have to get YouTube and Facebook and then the sequence. And it took – I'm so lame, but I did it. And if you look at my Facebook post for this week and my YouTube post, you can see me. You just look at my recordings. You'll see that I did multicasting. But what was so cool – is I figured out with the, I keep on saying Nate, because thank you, Nate. He showed me how to put the little screen of my face on there so you can see my drawing with my face.
Yeah.
Which they've been doing this for 20 years, but to me it's like, oh my goodness, what an invention.
Yeah.
And then I learned how to put an image like you have. So I did the image. I said, well, if I could put one image, I could put seven. So now I have the most crowded live YouTube screen on the planet because it's so fun. Why? I mean, if one thing looks cool, why not just do a whole frame of all this crazy?
Yeah.
I put my book covers. I put Draw 3D.
It was great.
I put the picture of me and the Emmy up in the corner. Why not? Right. Throw that in there. And then I still have more. So so for your listeners, if they're not annoyed enough at my over the top enthusiasm, there you are. Look at you pulling it up right now.
Oh yeah, I'm good. It's like I do it for a living or something, Mark.
Go forward on that lesson. That was a fun lesson tonight.
It was.
Did you watch it?
Yeah. I actually shared it to our dudes and beer group, all kinds of stuff for you, buddy.
Oh, did you really? That is so cool.
Absolutely.
I mean, show you the actual, there you go.
There are things that you do, Mark, that are absolutely phenomenal. And I am not somebody that was blessed with an incredible amount of hand-eye coordination. I can solder some things, stuff like that. But when it comes to painting, the dexterity of drawing, things like that, let's start talking a little bit about your techniques, the way that you teach, that kind of stuff.
See the flag that we're drawing there?
Yes.
This is a technique called foreshortening ripple. And this is one of the main drawings. There's 12 drawings in the book. The whole book, 200 pages, is based on 12 super simple drawings. But the whole thing talks about the technique and science behind that drawing and how I want you to practice. So you could, if I was on video, you'd see my hands going crazy and pointing and everything. I forget that I'm not just audio, but the foreshortening, that ripple, that's using many of the 12 Renaissance words. These words are 500 years old. Renaissance, the 500-year-old term from the Italian and French Renaissance. I didn't invent them. I'm standing on the shoulders of artists, art educators, for fine artists, masters for, 10 generations back. And we could talk about NASA a little bit, how I work a lot with the NASA Artemis team.
Oh, cool.
The moon mission. Tell you about that. We did a whole series. It's all based on standing on the shoulders of the people before you, their knowledge and intellect and information. I do that in the visual art world. And so this is shading, the blended shading, the contour. So the words I'm using in this one are foreshortening, size, near things are lower, placement. It's all in my book. Of course, hey, there's a nice segue for the plug. And this book, it took me 2 years, about 2.5 years to finish this book. It's 200 pages. You wouldn't believe the number of boxes of material that go into this, of pages and pages of drawings and ideas. 2 years. Finally finished it. COVID was tough through this trying to get it all organized and dealing with all the stress of the world, like we all did. We all been doing for the past 11 months. But we finished it, and we got it shipped. We got it printed, self-published, my first self-published book, my first major self-published
book. Awesome.
And I ordered the first 1,000 books to be delivered. Some of you guys who might be listening have been waiting for over a year. All right. And I can't believe the patience with these these people. Everybody's been so patient. I send them an email saying, hey, you know, I think it got to be a humorous point with them. Everybody appreciated. I was still in touch with them saying, okay, you know, I got your order, your $20 book order, or some people paid like $100 for me to draw the sketch on the inside cover. Thank you. If you did that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But it took me so much longer than I expected. So I kept sending notes on updates. All right. So it's still a month away. Oh, another month. Oh, let's be realistic. Okay. Now it's 3 months and then 2 years. And finally it's done. And I send them a note. Oh my gosh, it's at the printer. It's going to be delivered in 2 weeks. I'm going to get a whole pallet of these. I'm going to get them shipped out. And it was supposed to come Friday. It didn't come Friday. So I just held my breath and it didn't come Monday. So on Tuesday, today, yeah. I look out the window just when you were sending me that text and I see, this was at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I see a giant pallet in the middle of my driveway. I know that the driver did not call me,
That's awesome.
Can you believe this?
Yeah.
And I had to, you know, it's a pallet. What am I going to do? I'm this old guy with a bad back.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like 50 feet from my garage. I had the garage open and everything. So they after a couple hours of haggling, they finally had the UPS driver come back and he had a little hand truck and put the pallet in my garage. But that's when I got that note. I forgot the time. And I was in there telling the UPS driver where to put the pallet of these. My first published empire. I'm building this empire with 1,000 books. And I get that text from you that we're going live in 13 minutes. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Hey, no pressure, buddy.
Oh, that was awesome. So I got everything shut up, but I ran upstairs. We got on there, but I had time to grab one of the books. All right. So now you ready for the big thing about the book now, the big story?
Lay it on me.
After 2 years waiting, people been so patient, loving, kind, joyful. Hey, it's worth the wait. You know, only one person said, hey, it's been 6 months. Like, well, why don't you go ahead and refund it and I'll buy it when it's new. I said, hey, totally reasonable. And then, but I'm going to send them one anyways. Don't tell them.
Sure, sure.
I'm going to send him one anyways because he's waited so long. He gets so I get the book. I open it up. I'm looking at it right now in my hand. I have it in my hand, right? I'm very excited. Right? It's there. It's there. This is how it feels. This is my 13th book. Over a million of my books are sold, and I still get giddy when I get a new book in my hand. I'm holding it. And the fact that I self-publish this. And what do I find? There's 4 blank pages inside. Can you believe that? So I called the publisher, the printer, and they're mortified. They're wonderful. They're amazing. If anybody wants to self-publish a book, I'm going to give them a plug since this is a show of plugs. Gorham Printing.
Okay.
In the Pacific Northwest. I don't know if you can find their website, if you can throw it up on the video. Gorham Printing. They're so awesome. And you can get your books. You can get your books at a really reasonable price. You can get 100 books or 50 books.
Oh, that's great.
Everybody always says they want to write a book. I want to do a whole like day of webcasting about how to actually create the book, write it. There it is, Gorham Printing. I'm surprised they don't have my book up there. What's up? But I love these guys. They're and you know what they do immediately when they found out about this? Again, you keep the bloopers. Okay, 1,000 books, dude, right?
Yeah.
1,000 books. That's a big chunk of change. You keep the bloopers, and we're going to it'll take us a couple of weeks. We're going to get a new reprint to you right away. And they're
just,
they never
great.
Happened to them. I mean, immediately. No argument. No da-da-da-da. Like, oh, we're so sorry. You know? And so, yeah, I don't know what I'll do with the bloopers, but maybe people won't mind getting a blooper autograph for $20. In fact, we'll do that tonight. Instead of $50 for an autograph book, if you guys want a blooper book, go to my website, buy the You Can Draw, just buy the $20 version, and it's $7 shipping domestic. It's $25 international. It's a blooper. It's missing pages. I'll print the pages up.
Would that be markkistler.com that you want him to go to?
Yeah, markkistler.com. You can you pull that up on your video, markkistler.com?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Look, there's the. Now, this book, I'm building a 5-hour live Zoom art immersion, my book launch party. And that's in a month. That's February. Scroll down here. You can see the info. right there, February 27th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time. It's going to be a 5-hour. It's going to be based on those three books that you see on the screen there. If you scroll up, that's so cool. You can do that, dude. You can draw in 30 days. You can draw in 30 minutes. And you can draw in 30 seconds. I'm going to be using those three books as my teaching guide for the 5-hour art immersion. Now, the 5-hour art immersion is $199 per family. And per family, everybody.
Wow.
But the it's $99 for the first 10. So
that is so cheap.
Yeah, for $99.
Affordable.
Bucks.
I'm sorry. Affordable.
Yeah, it's affordable. It's cheap. I just want to make it. Plus, and you guys, you're going to have a recording of it. You can have access.
Man.
I don't know if I'll break it into 5 1-hour recordings or just 1 5-hour.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'll probably do in 5 1-hour chunks. We'll take breaks, you know. It's all right. I'll let you eat your noodle salad while I'm doing a little drawing demo or something.
While you play Bob Ross.
Bob
plays
Ross.
Pretty Little Trees places and foreshortening squares.
He was just as chill in real life as he was on TV.
Did he have the squirrel in his pocket?
I don't know. What now? One more time, Steve.
That was my favorite one. Was when Bob had like rescued the squirrel, and for like half a season, just like had this little squirrel that like hung out with him.
I never.
Oh, it was classy. Yeah, yeah. Like they went into a whole segment one time about like how he found the squirrel and like they visited Bob at home. It was great.
Wow.
But
I'm getting really jealous. I was looking around for I don't have any of my water. I don't have any of my Crystal Light. I don't have my decaf coffee. I might have to take a 30-second break and go grab
Okay.
Wait, hold on. I'm off headset for 30 seconds. I've got a case of water over here.
Look at that. So one of my favorite things about... We'll do it live.
Hi, kitty cat. I got two cats. And I got a case of water. I'm awesome.
All right.
I wish I don't have a beer.
That's all right. I've got one right over here for you.
Well, right I got there. These Australian beers out in the Ooh, fridge in the garage.
The Foster's?
I haven't had a beer because I'm my blood sugar just is nuts. And I tell you, you know what? I just always love tequila.
Ooh, yeah.
Just sipping tequila through all my travels around the world. I collected tequila, different tequilas. It's just so high in sugar content. It just freaks my system out. So I can't even do a sip of tequila anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty much just fermented nectar.
And that same thing with beer. I can maybe drink a half a beer before I start getting, boom, fall asleep and feel weird. So you guys enjoy your beer for me.
Absolutely. You know what's funny? We had a beer sponsor. I'm actively looking for another one on the show. If anyone out there knows one that might be looking for a podcast to supply some beer for, and then I started being on the road like 30 weeks a year. And it would get to the point that I would take a 12 pack in my Pelican, like put them in Ziplocs and throw them in my Pelican. And hey, yeah, I had some sponsored beer for the road, for the week while I was at work. But on top of that, I would come home from like 2 weeks on the road and there would just be stacks of beer because it could not fit in the studio fridge anymore. You know,
well, you just made me think of this. I have a good friend. He's a firefighter here in Houston and, he does a video, just a short, small video podcast or claymation. He's Joshua Templeton. Have you ever heard of him?
I can't say I have.
Here, I'm going to send him a text right now, right?
Cool.
Why? Because I love him. I want you to have him as a guest. He is so,
okay.
He knows so much history about beers.
Interesting.
Let me see here. I'm going to send him a text.
Well, and
let's spend time right now while you're live with the whole world.
That's right.
Let me get one of my friends. Now, what's the dudes in beer? I'm going to write, hey, well, dude. I'm going to have him log in so he can watch.
There you go.
Hey, dude. Live now. This is cool. Right now.
live shout outs from Mark right from now. Live shout outs from Emmy winners.
Dudes and in beer. All right, so he just goes on and logs on to just this, right? Types dudes and beer.
Dudesandbeer.com. You can go to Facebook and find us. So the video is live there.
So everybody should right now take this time to invite five of your friends.
Just yes.
Pick up your phone and just let's take this, make this show go viral.
Well, and right? with that in mind, let's start talking a little bit about your mission of teaching art to children. Because
back to the reason why you invited me to be on the show.
I mean, that is really the where all of this started. One of my favorite things was the challenge that you gave yourself as a young artist to teach a million people. And that's a very ambitious thing. Is that something that you have achieved at this point in your career?
Yeah, it's a great story. It's a great and it's a wonderful lesson. I talk a lot to about setting your dreams, setting your goals, and having the belief that you can achieve. You really can achieve the most amazing things in your life. Now you're not. It's going to be a long, hard haul. But if you work hard enough and you share your joy and your passion with enough people, people love to help and surround themselves with people that are inspired and joyful and motivated and full of ambition and excitement and doing something that they love to do, whether it be music or tennis or cooking or beer. Like Joshua, he's a firefighter, but he's so passionate. Yeah. And you just want to hang around with people like that, and you want to help people like here helping, you know, another tying up the beer. But Joshua, wanting to help him to be on your show, maybe that'll help him in his vision and his dream.
Sure,
helping each other out to lift each other up. And so I had this dream of I started teaching kids to draw when I was about 14 years old in high school as a freshman, and I was doing after school class at a Parks and Recreation in Carlsbad, California. It's where I first started teaching, and I loved it. And at the same time, I was reading this book, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And I've never really been focused on to the bane of my family and my business partners and my team. The money is just has never been a big issue with me. It's been the mission, the idea of getting to doing what you love to do and doing as much good as you can for as long as you can in the planet for as many people as you can. I mean, truly, truly. And we can all lift each other up. And I've had this belief in different forms, but the gist of it since I was, very young, through the power of positive thinking, through these authors, Norman Vincent Peale and Napoleon Hill, and setting goals. And so I set a goal. I had so much fun, and I was 14. I read the book, and it was all about making money. Well, that didn't really, float my bubble. That wasn't my cup of tea. My cup of tea was instead of $1 million. What if I can teach a million kids how to draw? Just think how much joy that I can bring, and how much excitement, and how much joy it can add to my life. And I look back now at 57 and I was 14. I was thinking, wow, that's pretty profound for a young whippersnapper. But back then it was just, the way I was raised. My mom and my stepdad were just extraordinary teachers, and they just inspired me so much. And, I just, thank goodness I had that in my life, and, bless their memories. My mom was probably the most powerful supporter of my dream when I started, and she is the fire behind it. But I said it when I was 14 to teach a million kids how to draw, it started with one city doing an after school class one day a week, an hour, and it got to be so popular in a month that I had that I had two classes. I had to limit the group to 15, so then I had 30 kids. Well, then another city heard about it, and I got another city next to it to do a class. Well, I was 15. I turned 16 because I was driving, and I had 10 cities going, two cities a day after school for 5 days, and then the city down in La Jolla on Saturdays. When I was it took all the way up to about 17, I was doing that. And and I was keeping track of how many kids I was teaching, and it was, you know, 10,000 kids, 20,000 kids, and I started doing these school programs, these school assemblies, to promote my after school classes through the recreation, and this is where the joy of the business side. I didn't realize how much I love business, making something out of nothing. You know, I mean,
it's an art in and of itself.
It was taking the creativity was the art in itself. You're correct. You can have the art of business, the art of the business of art. That's a whole nother world.
Absolutely.
Because I think all my teaching drawings are fantastic, right? But then to sell that to somebody else with enthusiasm and passion. Well, I had the 10 cities going. It was a far way away, and I wanted to teach a million people how to draw before I was 18 years old. And I was 17, and I was only at like 100,000, and I was doing I know. I look back now and I go, oh my gosh.
But you taught 100,000 people by 17.
And they said, you know, it could have been 40,000. I don't know. But the idea was I was a long way away. And I started doing daytime school assemblies to promote the after school class attendance. And that really skyrocketed. But then I realized, well, look, I can get 500 kids in 2 hours toward my goal. So then I started doing all these, I started tapering down the after school classes and focusing on the school visits. And that's what led into the Secret City, was doing the school. I was doing a couple schools a week and 500 schools a pop. That was 1,000 more kids a week. And, 8,000 a month, wow. Another 100,000 another year, but I missed the goal. When I was 18, and I was like, what can I do? What can I do? There's a lot more in the story, but eventually came to where I had one of the producers of a public television. These guys were producing, they wanted to make an art show for children about painting because Bob Ross inspired. This was right just as Bob Ross was starting. It was 1985. So I don't think Bob Ross was... I don't know what they were right on. And said, we were right there. We were 6 months. Our show was started airing 6 months after Bob Ross started airing. So these guys might have had some. They were doing it. They knew that an adult painting was coming, a show with this guy named Bob Ross or somehow. But they wanted to do a painting show for kids. And I remember telling them, I said, no. And this remember, I'm a 20 years old, 19 years old at the time. And I said, no, you don't want to do a painting show for the kids. Not the kids all over the country are all going to have paintbrushes and paints, and it's so expensive. Just pencil and paper, pencil in a paper plate. You make it easy. And they were like, oh yeah. So I kept on, you know, sending them. This is when FedEx first came out, and so I bombarded them with FedEx ideas. I just wanted to be a consultant on the show. I wanted to help them or maybe a guest on the show. And then they said, well, they had already chosen the host is what the issue was. There was an artist from England, but I invited the guy. I said, well, look, here's some ideas I want to incorporate either as a guest or maybe this, your artist can incorporate them. Come to my assembly program at this elementary school. And, I'll show you, and you can see firsthand. Well, he was going to be in San Francisco, and I'm in San Diego. He was going to be in San Francisco from New York. He was interviewing a guest artist for this upcoming show. It was a couple months away. They were going to be taping it out of Maryland Public Television, and there's Cindy the Dragon there. And so I knew he was going to be in San Francisco. So I said, will you commit to come to the show if I can get a school set up near the airport? And he goes, yeah, I'll come and see it. So I hung up. Now, 19 years old. I can't believe
incredible.
I did.
Incredible.
And I know I look back and I go, oh my goodness, what?
Man.
So I hung up the phone and I started calling schools around the airport and said, hey, you know, my name's Mark Kistler, and I just love to draw with the kids. I do assembly. No, this is 1985. Nowadays, you seriously have to get FBI background check and fingerprints.
Oh, God, yeah.
To go into a school. But it was, I get this, within a half an hour, I had a principal on the phone try to get a principal on the phone now because they're so darn busy. I mean, right? You have to go through three layers of so. But I had a principal on the phone, and I was telling him, he's like, "Oh, this sounds fantastic." I said, "Well, I'm going to be up there next Tuesday. This is like 5 days, and can I come in there and I'll do a free program for you, and I'm going to invite this producer down. Doesn't even know me. Doesn't know the producer. So he invites. Says, yeah. So we go in there. And so I called John back. I said, John, John Price, the producer. John, I got a booking. Da, da, da. He goes, fantastic. All right, what time? I go, well, just can you pick me up at the airport? Can you believe that? I asked the guy trying to show to pick me up at the airport. But he laughs hysterically. He goes, oh, my gosh, I forget you're so young. And so he picked me up. And I didn't even have a suit. So my mom loaned me her credit card. I bought my first suit. And I, for some reason, I had to have a briefcase. I don't know why. So I never used it again. But I bought a briefcase thinking I needed one. Basically, I put my drawing pencils and pens in it. And I went to the, he picked me up and we had, I did the assembly and I was on fire. It was one of those, I love teaching. And all those teachers out here that are listening to this know what it feels like when you're in that zone and you're connecting. And you're feeling it. You're getting through to them, and you see the light bulbs going off, and you can feel the energy in the room. Well, I had that times 500, and I had all these kids going da da da, and I finished my hour program, and the kids couldn't have had a better response. The kids all swore me, that I was a superstar. Coming up, and now. This is 1985. Nowadays, the teachers have them, they have some behind the tape line and da, da, da. But I thought it was perfect. So I stood up and got into the crowd and I was getting the kids all whipped up and I was waving to John saying, "Hey, John, this happens all the time. I'll be right back with you, And I couldn't have paid the school to be a better response. So John was just, he blown away. And I look back now and I was just, what a neat day that was. And he was shaking his head and he was like upset. And I go back and I said, "Didn't you like the show?" And he goes, "Yeah, you were phenomenal." I go, why are you like really upset? And he goes, "Well, I just paid this guy thousands of dollars as in a contract and I've got to break the contract. I got to have you. You got to star the show."
That's awesome.
Can you believe that? He was like inside. I'll go, "Oh, the poor guy," but inside I'm like, "Yeah, whoo!" So yeah. That's how I became the host of the Secret City. Instead of a children's painting show, we developed that together, John Price and I, that show, and that was based on one of my teachers when I was going to elementary school. He taught us how to draw these wonderful fanciful worlds called Secret Cities. And so that I based it on from the great teacher that I was inspired from, Bruce McIntyre, from the Carlsbad, California schools back in the early 70s. And I was able to take that seed and grow the tree to teach millions and millions of folks around. And what's so cool nowadays, I have, this brings another story. Dan Fraga from Fraga Boom and Couch Doodles. He did a lot of work with Batman, Superman, Marvel Comics, Wolverine and amazing. But he grew up watching my show like you did.
Yeah.
And he was smart. And he approached me at a Comic-Con in Las Vegas, introduced himself. And it's like, "Oh my gosh, I love your art, Dan." And Dan, it was a mutual. And he and I wanted to do this movie for HBO. We're kind of, top secret. It's been like 2 years in development, along with Sam Ellis, from the guy who was a lead. Do you remember Sam Ellis? He's so cool.
Yeah.
He did Archer and Adventure Time, and he does all kinds of animated projects.
Yeah.
But, us three, what a wonder. And this is in my book. Oh, little plug. This is a story I share in the book, You Can Draw in 30 Seconds, about how I met these guys. And we talked about the show the giant acorn tree. I don't know what the name of it's going to be, but how would a teacher with a passion and joy for this subject can how they can inspire so many people, and how from when since I was 19 with that TV show and the Imagination Station, my books, that I've been able to reach millions of people, and how so many of them now are the animators and artists for Pixar DreamWorks. It's just, I can't get my mind around it. I'm delighted. I'm honored.
To have literally inspired an entire generation of artists, Mark, that are just now coming to the table. You know, they've just hit the stride in their career. So for them to be crossing paths with you at these events, something I was going to bring up earlier whenever I was mentioning that we first met at a convention is there are people like you and there are people like LeVar Burton.
He's awesome. I've never met him. He's on my wish list.
Who despite his Star Trek fame, would be at conventions and things like that for his raging years with Reading Rainbow. And the number of people that he inspired to read and to continue reading and to pass on reading. So for you to have inspired so many people into the world of art, and I guess it was right as schools were getting ready to reboot, some were, some weren't. I had a few teachers, or not teachers, but parents, contact me like, hey, my kid's going to have to homeschool. Anybody got any good homeschool art stuff? And I was like, yeah, I do. I don't know if you remember. I don't know if you remember Secret City and Imagination Station, but Mark Kistler has some great family stuff. And there were three or four people that went and found it and loved it and started doing things with their family. So the fact that you are still out there, that you are still teaching, like you were saying, bringing it to the world of Facebook now, where you're doing live feeds.
I'm teaching. I was born to Zoom. All this was all this was to get me to a point where, I mean, I'm Zooming 6-7 hours a day, all day long.
And
if anybody wants to join me on the Zoom, send me an email. I would love to give you a free link. I mean, that's how I make a living. I'm a dad. I pay for. Oh, I'm a grandpa now.
Yes, you are. That's right. Congrats. I totally forgot to congratulate you.
So if you want to help me buy diapers for my daughter, please buy a book. You know, how's that for shameless?
That's right.
But I have this wonderful program that right up there on the corner, you'll see draw3d.com. Check that out. It has hundreds of recorded lessons. Every Monday, I go live on Zoom for like 6 hours, 7 hours. I have different guest artists. Dan Frege, who I was talking about, was a guest artist. I have Tom Bancroft from Disney, from Little Mermaid, and Disney, Tarzan, Tim Decker, guest artist, Matt Frank, Godzilla artist. He was a guest artist.
Wow.
Mustava from Marvel Comics.
Yep.
And, you know, he's been our guest. Michael Calero, you know him. He's been at Comic Cons all over. Joe Waz, he's doing his own. Joe Waz from Waz Tunes. He has his own PBS show now coming out of Pittsburgh, the same studio that that Mr. Rogers filmed at. And I just had him as a guest on our as a guest artist for last night's live NASA show. This is a fun story. Can I tell you another story?
Oh, good God, tell me another story.
So many fun stories.
Well, tell me this, and then let's definitely get into your work with NASA.
So I was at Comic-Con in Comic-Palooza, my hometown. I love Comic-Palooza.
Go Houston. Comic-Cons.
And these two NASA guys come up, and the one NASA fellow, his name is Jack Moore, he shows me a picture of him when he's 8 years old, standing next to me, Commander Mark, when I came down to his school district on a visit from the PBS TV show. And it was just so cool. We just became fast friends right then. And he was with NASA, and so I was all gaga about that because I'm a big NASA geek. So he took me over to his NASA display there at Comic-Con, and I got VIP. Well, then I told him I was teaching these art teachers my summer camp. And so he said, hey, bring all your art teachers. I'll give you guys a behind-the-scenes tour, VIP, right? So I bring he thinks I'm going to bring 8 or 9. Well, I bring 30 people. I bring my 10 teachers and their fans and their kids. And he has to get three vans for us. Right. And he's all excited, you know, and we're all art teachers. So we're all just goofy fun. And he gives us this all full day behind the scenes tour of NASA. Wow. We go through, and if you, I want to show you something, go to my website. I want to show you this picture that's on my home mark. So we go into, don't scroll down yet. Here's the,
okay.
Ready? We see the SLS rocket. We see all the different parts. Well, the big moment was when we went into mission control. We had to be really quiet, and our teachers they're not quiet. They're being too loud, and I had to yell at them in the lobby at NASA and say, "Dudes, you know, shh, quiet.
We're
you
know, NASA.
Come on. We're about to go into the mission, and they will kick us out. Come on!" And these are all adult professional teachers, and they're freaking out. They're taking pictures against all the NASA things and climbing all over the I was going, come here, guys, come on.
Yeah.
And so they were all right. And so I had to be the big, you know, mean bossy guy. And I go, okay, come on, man. So they all get quiet. And I was like, veins sticking out of my neck. So we get up into mission. We go in the back, the glass area where you're behind the glass where all the VIP sit, right? There's pictures of the presidents in this area here, the liftoffs and stuff. And you're looking down and we're watching the live. We're all quiet and we're watching the Dragonfly resupply capsule go up
cool.
to the space station, and it connects to the space station, all this live. And then all of a sudden, right when it connects, scroll down, this image appears down below on the big screens near the keep going to the bottom. Let's see if it's there. I hope it's still there. Go, keep going. Where are you at? Are you on the go to the main home?
Okay.
Go to my dad there, that main right there. And now scroll to the bottom of that. You keep going. Oh. Yep, sign up for my newsletter.
That's right.
Keep going. Oh, look at more promo. You know, help me. Keep going. And oh, there's Amazon Prime. You can watch my show, The Imagination Station.
Nice.
Okay, keep going. Oh, buy my books. There it is. That was on the control. You see it?
Wow!
Oh, you see the picture to the right. Zeptron teaches with me on. See Zeptron awesome. Right there on the far right with the beard. That's Zeptron, and then that's Jack Moore in the middle, and then that's me with my beard, old Mark. Now, if you go to the picture right there in the middle, you can see my picture next to the space station. And do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
If you go
here, there,
yeah, no, up, go up one, just one picture up, right there. Now, if you keep scrolling up, you see there's mission control, and then see right where your cursor is.
Yeah.
That is looking down into mission control, and you see all the flight directors down there, right?
Yep.
See those? Okay, now do you see those video images above the flight directors?
Yeah.
There's the space station live. Now, to the right, you see the actual cargo hold of the International Space Station. And then to the left, my picture popped up. And I was like, what?
That's awesome.
And so it turns out that a couple of the flight directors were flight control, grew up watching the show like you, and they put that up there. And Jack, right there, the guy standing with a tie, right there, his name is William Foster, and I wish I could show you, but he wrote the foreword for my book. We became friends from that day.
Wow.
And we started being Facebook friends, and I've never met him in person because of COVID, but he actually wrote, he's been a guest on my Fine Arts Academy. He's fascinating. He's ground control for the International Space Station for like 20 years, and he's also going to be ground control for the next Artemis mission to the moon in 2024.
Now, what are you doing with them? Let's get whatever you can talk about can.
Well, we can. It's on. It's a live webcast. If you see Jack Moore right
did
there,
did you design the ship?
No, I'll tell you. All right, go to YouTube. Go to YouTube.
Okay.
For a second here, and then type in Mark Kistler. I'll show you what we're doing. This is awesome. You guys can watch the I'll let the video speak for itself. I love your little alien from Roswell, by the way. I have a whole story of teaching at Roswell for many summers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was so cool.
All right, what are we looking for, my friend?
Type in Mark Kistler in the search. And MRKKISDLER, and then go there, and then go to of course click the subscribe.
Always click subscribe.
And then
verify it's you.
Yeah, verify it's you.
This one hadn't been logged in yet. Sorry.
Oh, I guess you can log in. I was like,
it's 2021, so there's all new passwords. Oh wow, how about that?
Just go in as a guest. Don't worry about it. They don't make it easy. You know, you have to have your passcode sheet and go through all the different.
I know.
So just go to regular. Don't subscribe yet.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited to show you this. Now I'm worried about if we're running out of time. You got to see this.
No, I got plenty of time. Plenty of time. It's all about how much time you got, Mark.
Oh, I was hungry and tired before this, but you're a great interviewer.
Thank you.
You let me ramble on like I'm doing a live webcast. All right, now just click that there and then click playlist. Go to playlist.
There we go.
And now scroll down until you see. Now, first, let me tell you a few things here. Starting with COVID, see the 73 right there?
Yep.
The hour of pencil power. Mario, my son, and I did 73 hours.
I remember that.
4 months of hour every day at noon for the kids around the world for free.
Wow.
And it's a wonderful series, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's still there. It's still available. Now, you can draw on 30 days live. There's a whole bunch. I have hundreds and hundreds of lessons. But go down to where it says NASA. Draw NASA live. Keep scrolling down.
Burp, burp, burp.
Keeps going down. Find where's the draw NASA. Where is it?
I don't see draw NASA live.
All right. So go up to that's weird.
Huh.
Oh, there it is. How to draw NASA.
Okay.
The 9 episodes. You see it right there on the top row? How to draw a NASA mission to the moon.
There we go.
All right. Now go to episode. No, don't do that one. Go to episode 7.
Stop.
I want to show you the one with the astronaut from the International Space Station.
Oh, cool.
All right. So go to that. Click it. And then go to, you want to see the list. How do you do that? All the different episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So close that. And this is. So I'd say close. Well, you can watch that if you want. I just want to show you that the quick intro.
There it is. View full playlist.
There we go. Right. Now go to episode.
Now I feel old.
Yeah, go to episode 9. No. Episode 8, the Moon Kid. Episode 8. That's a good one. Now, to tell you that, I'm going to let you watch a minute, and then I'll tell you more about it. But you have to kind of scrub forward. There's it. That's Alvin Drew from the International Space Station. Oh, I had shaved there. That was after my shave. Go, keep going back. Right there. And so that why this is playing through the feeder. Sorry about the ads. I try to keep it ad free, but I don't have control over that.
No, you don't.
It's about every month we've done a 1 hour live episode. Of these different Artemis components of the mission to the moon. Can you hear this? Can you let people hear it or no?
I want you to spend time right now working on
the structure of this. I've still got the video playing over here, so let me close that out. Boom.
Look at my head shaved. I shaved it just because I was tired of the COVID, stuff.
Right.
Okay, can you close up that ad? Look at that. Look how bald I am. Oh, my gosh. That's how big the moon kit is, by the way. That's how big. That's what the astronauts can take to the moon for the personal belongings.
Guest today is going to draw what we would bring in our little moon kit.
You want to start it over?
Cool. So to help us ponder those possibilities is.
That's a great opening. Can you go to the beginning of that section? Right there.
There you go.
So while it's playing, before it starts up, we've done 9. There it goes. I can't believe I'm directing you with my headphones.
I can keep up.
All this without caffeine. I haven't had caffeine in 8 months, dude.
This is so fantastic that you have collaborated with NASA.
Isn't it wonderful? It's so exciting. I love it. I can't believe it. It's about people you meet. It's about the, you know, making these connections, doing what you love to do, having a mission, having a passion, and then telling as many people as you can, sharing it, and you, people are going to just swarm to you.
Yep.
Welcome. Welcome. I am so glad you're here. I am so glad because today is such a neat episode. Welcome to our Draw Artemis Live episode 8. 8 episodes. And I'm going to tell you, if you have missed some episodes, I'll explain to you in just a minute how you can watch those on YouTube and Facebook. Today's theme is so cool. It's NASA Moon Kit. Now think for a second, what would you bring to the moon if you had a little private space, no bigger than this macaroni and cheese box right here? What special
this is one of the things that I always loved about your lessons, Mark, is how personalized they were.
You can add a little moon kit. Oh, it's really, cool. I mean, if you, so we can watch more, but just you can scrub forward if you want to see the.
We'll keep this playing in the background while we chat here so people can see it.
Okay, you can see that there's he is so cool. He's an astronaut from the space station. He talked about life on the space station. He's going to be, his name is Alvin Drew. And now I can say that I am friends with an astronaut. Is that awesome?
That's epic, man.
I know.
And now he can say he's friends with an Emmy Award-winning show host.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, that's right. And you notice that I just happen to modestly have my Emmy.
I see that.
You know, just very modestly with the puppet pointing to it. I mean, wherever I'm at, I just happen to have the Emmy in my luggage, you know? I mean, it's
right.
Just, it's just ridiculous.
Do you travel with it like Elwood Blues, with it like in a doctor's bag, handcuffed to you?
It comes in a really a big black coffin. I didn't think we were going to win, so I didn't go out to the Emmys. It was just, you know, I have to add kids and a lot of money, very expensive. There's Robert Newstead, my executive producer of Imagination Station,
co-creator.
I had so many people join us on this effort. And it looks good. Doesn't it look good on there?
It looks fantastic.
This is great. And you can jump ahead and you can see. Now, what I did was for my moon kit is I drew, taught the kids how to draw bagels because I wanted to bring a bigger toaster. That would be my moon kit. And everybody else was drawing, see, I'm drawing a bagel toaster. And I thought that was funny. But everybody else was bringing these really, really powerful life stories, these little mementos from their mom or their grandpa who had died and left
them out. That's great.
Just wonderful little precious, and I do a bagel toaster. You know? I mean,
well, you know, it's about what's important to you, Mark.
That's right. That's right. That's what I said. You have to have your priorities, you know?
I refuse to be 300 miles above Earth and not have a toasted bagel some caveman. Yeah, caveman that doesn't have fire.
You have to have your conditions, you know.
That's right. The bare minimums. Space.
See the different. They did that different pictures from that. Now, last night. If you want to take another look, if you have time, you can look at the end drawing of our, we did the moon buggy, the moon. If you just close that out and open, I don't know if episodes 9 is up there. Yeah,
I didn't see that. I just saw 8.
Well, if you go to the videos, I haven't put it over there. Actually, I can transfer it right now. But if you just go to the videos tag, close out my that, and then just go, and it should be the last one. It's just the episode 8. If you go to video, click videos up at the top, the bar there, and it should be right there, episode 9.
There it is.
And you can, this one is awesome. Oh my gosh. You scrub forward and you can see this guy. That's the gateways. This is good to show the folks that you're watching. That's the gateways. These are some of the episodes we've done. That's the XEME suit. That's another episode.
Wow.
This is another episode that I'm about to show you. I was just spinning through them. We did that drawing in an hour and I did the background. Now that's the crawler that carries the tower. And then there's the Orion spacesuit.
Is that the same crawler that they had over at Comic-Con that year?
Yeah. Well, okay. No. Because that crawler is huge. It carries a skyscraper.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, literally, it's a skyscraper because the SLS rocket, the largest rocket that has at this point ever launched from the planet. I hope I show it here again. Come on, show me that SLS rocket. 1 second. I'm hoping I do it. You got to see this rocket. It's huge. One more rocket. Come on. I don't know if I'm going to show it off, but no, I don't show it. But now go forward. Just scrub forward. Go way forward. Keep going. And there. Oh, back up there. Now look at that. This guy, the guy, our guest, was the engineer, the lead engineer behind these vehicles that they're going to take to Mars. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Now that was the one that they had the mock-up of.
Okay.
Was the personnel carrier.
And that's what we drew. See? Didn't they do a good job? So the Artemis team creates that graphic, and then I do a little draw along. So you can scrub forward. You can kind of see the drawing develop as they interview the engineer behind the you can scrub forward. You can see I start darkening it in. Keep scrub forward here. And then we have different guest artists. Let me see. There you go. Pull that one up. Now there's Nate. That's Nate. I was talking about him.
Yep.
Nate Johnson. There's my son Mario. He's on all my show on the iPhone there. And Nate was giving us a tour of his studio with all of his Star Wars stuff.
Now that is one of my favorite things personally about you, Mark, is your literal and insatiable encouragement in your son and his business and his entrepreneurial spirit, which once again, just to me, really goes to the point of art. My dad, for instance, not an artist in our form. Like as you can tell, I do a little bit of art over here on the side. Like I said, I am not a blessed man with pen and paper or pencil and paper, but digitally,
you have a golden voice, dude. You have a golden voice. Wow.
Thank you. A lot of that is the technology. Technology can make you sound amazing ways, Mark. My dad had that business acumen. He had that knack of being able to go, you know what, I want to start up a gutter business, and he did. Like successful, did well, you know. And there are some people that have that knack. There are some people that have the artistic knack. There are some people that have the academic knack. You know, that like, hey, science, math, that's their thing. How is it that you can spot and encourage the artistic knack in children?
Ask me that question again. I got a text from my son. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I have no problem at all.
I'm so freaking out because he was about to. He's special, a special abilities guy, and yeah. He goes between his group home and own home. I'm trying to get him to come home for like 3 to 6 months to ride out the rest of COVID, so I can keep him in the bubble. And he and I, we're going to do this cross country trip. Did I tell you about that?
No,
we're going to hook up this trailer to our minivan, and we're going to go from. We just got to get out of the house. It's been a year, so we're going to. Yeah. After I get my second COVID shot, you know, hopefully in 3-4 weeks, we hope. And he's online because he's in the first tier, being in special needs.
Yeah,
we're gonna go from Texas to California, and to go out and see family out there. Well, check this out. I've made a little mention of it on Facebook, and we had people. I said, Mario, can't believe it. Mario wants to bring his lawn equipment in the trailer. I mean, what are we going to do? Mow lawns. I got so many people asking us to stop at their houses for Mario to mow their lawn that we have eight families right now.
Nice.
Scheduled. So now we're going to make t-shirts. See? Mario's Lawns Across America.
and we're gonna make this 30-day grand tour, and every couple days we'll stop at another person's house to make sure that we can park the trailer, because I have never driven a 21-foot trailer before.
That's so a big trailer,
I need a big street to pull up, and give me an extension cord and a hose, and let me stay in front of. There's Joe Wass right there, famous cartoonist with the Peanuts Charles Schulz Gallery.
Yeah,
he's so cool. Just wow. He grew up watching me. He's 50 years old. So he was 11 years old when I was 19 years old doing the TV show.
Yep.
So that's just fun. So anyways, we're doing Lawns Across America with Mario. And I didn't answer your question at all. I'm so scatterbrained right now.
That's okay, man. I fully understand. Just the other day, little personal inside baseball, I've been the same way, Mark, because I am so used to a regimented schedule, being on the road. I got this time to do this. This has to happen by this point, all that kind of stuff. And the last year has just been like throwing things against the wall, you know? And the other day I sat down with my tablet just to do a to-do list. You were part of that list. And I got up, went to the restroom and came back to my tablet and looked at my to-do list. And I was like, no wonder, man. Like, I got notes for like my musical project at the beginning, in the middle, and the end of this list. And they're all like that. Like, I can't even focus on what I need to. So I literally had to go through and make a day on the schedule for each thing. Like, one day, one thing. Like, Tuesdays is nothing.
So you're figuring out how to navigate it. I tell you, it's taken me this COVID.
Same.
Now, I haven't been home. The crazy thing for me is that, I don't know. Did you tell me, are you usually locked down to your house or usually
no.
out more?
No, I'm so normally on world, the road. Right? I'm normally on the road 35 weeks a year, Mark.
Okay, so you and me are both.
Yeah.
Okay, same thing.
Yeah.
And so March 13th, I haven't been home for more than a 1 week stretch for 25 years.
Yeah.
And now I've been home like you, what, for 11 months now. And so we have to totally reinvent ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
And look at you. Look at you in your studio. I'm so proud of you. Look at that.
Thank you.
You got yourself all nestled in there. You got your little creative cave.
It really is. I try to explain to people all the time. They ask me how I get so much done. And I tell them, I have a very loving and understanding wife who is out in the front room right now.
Well, bring her in. Have her say hi so I can say hi.
I love you, Amy. She's out in the other room. She sees the red studio light on. She knows.
Go get her. Go get her for a cameo. Come on. Go get her.
She makes regular appearances on Dudes and Beer.
Commander Mark wants to say hi. Come on, go get her.
Okay, let me see if I can text her. I'll give you $5.
Get her in here.
Hey, man, hold on. You said $5. That's more than a dollar.
$5, that's right. And we'll drive. We'll do your lawn. Better than that. Mario and I, we will stop at your house in Austin. Oh.
Okay.
In fact, we're going to do a sortie. We're going to do a quick trip cool. to Baxter Park right by you up there, right?
Oh, wow.
Is it Baxter Park? We're going to go to Baxter Park. There's a family that has a property that we're going to park, and they have a riding lawnmower. Mario's freaking out. And Mario has
awesome.
More fans on Facebook than I do. The guy's an internet sensation.
Yeah, he is a phenom, to say the least. And the creation and creative drive that Mario has for his business and what he does is absolutely inspirational.
You could read me. Can I do a plug for him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you do. Go to GoFundMe and check out his Mighty Mario's. Oh, you guess you can do it right on the computer.
I'm doing it right now, buddy.
Yeah,
keep saying it.
Go to GoFundMe and type in Mighty Mario's 2021 Dream Quest.
Okay.
And you can see he's raised over $6,000 to buy his own trailer and his own lawn equipment.
Yeah, I saw the
GoFundMe, Mario's 2021 Dream Quest.
Let's see, do I have to be a member to search that up? I don't think I'm on GoFundMe.
You just type in GoFundMe.
Yeah.
And anybody can open up, and then you go search, and you type in Mighty Mario 2021, and it'll pop
there's
up.
The search. Okay. I'm bringing it up right now.
This is cool. So you see, you type in, there you go.
Mighty Mario.
Mighty Mario 2021.
All one?
There it is.
There it is.
So click that, and you'll see a picture of him mowing a lawn.
And look at that. He's raised $6,184. Isn't that awesome?
Wow. And, I know people launching products that haven't raised that much money.
And then look at, you know, people could, they like, they see a story, they donate $500. I mean, that's, and that tells his story. He's just, you know, about his challenges he's overcome. They told me when I adopted him, when he was like less than 1.5 years old, they said that he just to prepare that he wouldn't be able to walk upstairs or wouldn't be able to ride a bike, throw a ball, definitely would never be able to drive because he has one eye and his intellectual challenges. Well, I mean, he drives tractors. He drives like he's not drives a car because he can't read. So, you know, but like I told Mario, I said, hey, you don't have to drive a car. You can hire. You can call Uber, Mario. You know, or you can you can have people drive you.
That's right.
Because so you don't. That's not you have the special abilities. You know,
that's right.
He goes, hey, Dad, am I special needs? And I go, well, if you say that, you know, we both are. I
mean, yeah.
We all have our needs, but you have these amazing special abilities that you make me cry.
Well, and
I can just he melts my heart. So anyways, he's just kicking butt.
I got to spend the afternoon with Mario. The festival that we did with Scary Dad. He was in the movie room most of the day. And that's where I was running stuff, things like that.
And I didn't know that you got to spend that time with Mario. Yeah,
absolutely amazing individual. He was so fun to sit and talk with, the energy that he had. And that only comes from rearing. That only comes from the loved ones around him, Mark. And to know, like I said, the encouragement that I see you give him encourages me to give the same to my son and to encourage him that even though Dad can't draw that well, that doesn't mean that you can't. Just because I am not able to do something doesn't mean that you can't.
Well, and, I was telling you, he's sick tonight. We sent out for a COVID test last night. And so, I'm just worried sick about him.
Yeah.
But he came down. He's just got the symptoms on Friday, so we sent a test out. We'll know in a couple of days, but it's mild for him.
Yeah.
Just a bad, you know. But it just the fact that he were having to send out a test, it's so surreal in our time.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah. Absolutely. So, that I can't even. I can't even imagine what that would be like. I know there are a few people that I know closely, even guests of this show, that have tested positive.
Oh, I've had so many in my circle come down with some.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no messing around. It's no joke. There's just my assistant Amanda, her whole family nailed hard for.
Yeah.
My operation came to a screeching halt for a month because I depend on her so much. I was trying to handle everything, and I forgot how much she's been with me for 8 years.
Wow!
And I was like, I, "How in the world do you do all this, Amanda?" You know, now that she's better and recovered. But Amanda and Emily Albright, another great artist that I would totally recommend people watch her YouTube channel, our Art with Albright. She and her family got hit hard with. So many families are getting hit. Just wear your mask, please. Wear your mask. Love each other. Be patient. Be extra panda. We're all edgy. We're all stressed. We're angry. We're frustrated. And I find myself like snapping at the UPS driver, the poor guy. He's just trying to help me. And I had to apologize. Say, look, I'm so sorry.
It's not his fault that they delivered a whole pallet to your house.
I know, in the middle of my driveway.
You've got a pallet jack.
You know, I know. I'm trying to remind myself and Mario and everybody.
Yeah.
Just extra patient and just take care of each other. We got to get through this. We don't have a choice.
No,
you know, we got to get through it together.
Well, that's just it. We either get along or we don't. It's really just that simple, and we've all got to learn to get along, because it's not going to be anything that just
disagreement
goes away.
Doesn't have to be the war, you know. Just
yeah,
we got to bring civility and politeness and get something done. So this looks like a good place to say goodnight because I'm hungry for dinner. So I just thank you so much.
Please do hold the line while we close things out. I thank you so much for coming on again. My airwaves are always your airwaves. I definitely want to have you on to talk more about the importance of art in families' lives, in children's lives, the way that it can move lives, the way that you have moved lives from NASA scientists to teachers to network makers to network creators to lowly people like myself. Thank you for everything that you have done to pave that way for future art teachers, for people understanding the fact that art is necessary, that it is vital to our society.
Absolutely. The overwhelming, the amazing, the powerful power of the visual arts to transform and inspire lives. Absolutely. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much. You want me to stay on the line and you close out the show?
Yeah, hold the line while you close things out, or while we close things out, and we'll be right back with you, okay? Hold the line real quick, Mark. While you are online checking out the amazing work of Mark Kistler at draw3d.com, as well as markkistler.com, make sure to stop on by the Dudes and Beer website. That is where you can find everything. That's where you can also buy the books of Mark Kistler, right there in our Dudes and Beer store, everybody. Make sure to stop on by our home network, HC Universal Network. That's where you can find all the shows, not just Dudes and Beer, Talking Sound. Great CES coverage from Talking Sound this year. I must say, as the host of Talking Sound, many other great shows. Until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and if you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices.
Now being rebuilt.
Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.